No.
What's your least favorite scary movie?
This is the part of the scary movie that really pisses me off. Welcome to What's Your Least Favorite Scary Movie, the podcast where we talk about the good, the bad, the ugly, and the absurd and all of our favorite
and least favorite
scary movies.
Because we believe every horror movie rightfully has its fan base.
Even if we don't always get it.
My name's Travis.
My name's Jesse. And welcome back to another live, uncut, and mostly undrawn bonus episode of To Be or Not To Be.
Yay!
This is our monthly bonus series where we find something on a free streaming service, talk about it, decide how we feel about it. It's brand new to us, so
yeah,
we're exploring together. That's our goal with this.
That's right.
All right, so today we are talking, oh, also, surprise, probably won't even have the schedule posted by the time we get this uploaded.
Yeah.
Because you know what? September 1st was a Friday, and it's also the official start of Halloween, so we've just been kind of having a good week and vibing with that, and then every so often we'll be like, shit, we need to post the schedule, and then we realize that we haven't.
Yeah, I keep forgetting, man. Like, I don't know, I feel like we crept into September, and I didn't even fully register it, and here we are. Still haven't posted the schedule.
Yeah.
We have it all, though. We know what we're going to be doing.
Yeah, we have the whole schedule already. We actually had it ready, like, a week early for once, but which is... We haven't put it on the board yet.
A lot of spooky stuff happening.
Yeah, and that's why this is going to be a surprise to be or not to be episode, because we didn't even announce it on last week's main episode.
Yeah.
So, yay, here we are.
Yeah.
Speaking... And, oh, did you have something you were going to announce?
No, I was just going to say it was your pick.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it was my pick, and we watched The Resort.
Yeah.
So that is a 2021... like a paranormal kind of movie?
Kind of.
Yeah. So I guess, are we ready to just go straight into it?
Yeah, I'm ready to go. Let's do it.
Okay.
This fucking movie.
The Resort was released July 12th, 2021. We watched it on Tubi. Written and directed by Taylor Chin. Music by John Sterry. And special effects makeup by George Troster, Graham Schofield, and Sasha Glasser.
Okay.
Starring Bianca Haas as Lex, Brock O'Hearn as Chris.
That dude, of course his name is Brock. I feel like if you're named Brock, you have to either look like that or you have to be the Pokemon guy.
Listen, if you don't recognize the name off the top of your head, he's one of my strong men, Daddy. Torsten.
Yes.
In the Righteous Gemstones season 2.
Oh, well, I almost spoiled something for that for those who haven't seen it. But yeah, he's one of the buff boys from Kelvin's cult.
Yeah, and you were like, "Are you sure that's him?" As if there's another long-haired, bearded, 6.5 foot tall dude that we see regularly on our screens.
Yeah, there's several. One of them, Jason Momoa.
Yeah, Jason Momoa is gonna be in this movie.
Maybe, I don't know. Dave Sheridan's in this movie.
That's true. Yeah, he plays the detective. Michael Vlamis as Sam and Michelle Randolph as Bree. All right, Travis. It's time for our favorite game.
Budget or Bug Ted.
You had to do that on your own because you said bud.
it's Bug Ted. Come on, man. This is super, super low budget.
Yeah, it's one of those that I don't even have the budget for.
Yeah.
Because it's so low.
I mean, I'll give them credit. It looks pretty nice for a low budget movie, but it's pretty clearly Bug Ted.
Opening box office of $88,000 and a worldwide gross of $208,000.
Okay, that's not too bad.
IMDb score of 3.1.
Ooh, boy, man. Yeah, it's down there.
I picked three other movies from 2021. They're all movies that we haven't seen yet.
Oh, okay.
So the first one is Dash Cam.
Ah, I want to watch that.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think all of these are ones that you specifically have said you want to watch.
Okay, yeah. I think that's, I could be wrong. I think that's the person that did Host.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
It premiered at the Toronto International Film Festival on September 11th, 2021.
Mm-hmm.
Budget of $100,000 and a worldwide gross of $66,000.
Ooh.
An IMDb score of 4.6 out of 10.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus. Okay, I guess it didn't do too well. Bad gross and bad score.
Second movie, Old.
Old. Oh, I haven't expressed interest in watching this. You, you have.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm the one that wants to watch it. You want to watch The Cabin.
We will watch this if we... Okay, your terms for watching the Knock at the Cabin
was to watch
this, yes.
Yeah.
Two M. Night Shyamalan movies, one that you're interested in and one that I'm interested in.
Yeah, because you were like, I don't want to watch Old. That sounds like a stupid premise. Well, and man, I was like, so does Knock at the Cabin.
No, Knock at the Cabin... Okay, like Knock at the Cabin seems like it would have a stupid premise, but I like it better. I like the concept of that better than Old. Old, like, has the making, just from the trailer, everything I've seen of it, of a classic Shyamalan shit movie. I was trying to find, like, another S so I'd get some good alliteration there, but...
I almost got Knock at the Cabin spoiled for me because I was listening to Teen Creeps and they covered the book that it's based off of. Mm. And I was like, huh, the title of this book sounds familiar because it's like The Cabin at the End of the World or something. So it's a different name.
Yeah, okay.
And I'm listening to it. Da-da-da-da-da. And then I heard them mention the movie and I was like, oh, shit, that's the fucking book it's based off of. So I turned that off because as much as I don't really care about watching that movie, I at least want it to not be spoiled.
That's fair.
Because we all know it's Shyamalan, so there's going to be a twist.
There's always
a twist.
One of these days, he's not going to have a twist and that'll be
the twist. He's like planned a multi-decade plot to like...
That's how he retires.
The ultimate troll.
He retires on the movie with no twists. It's like a very straightforward movie.
Anyway, Old premiered July 23rd, 2021 with a budget of $18 million and a worldwide gross of $90 million.
Okay.
And an IMDb score of 5.8 out of 10.
Okay, better than I was expecting.
And then the third movie is Antlers.
Oh, I heard that one did bad.
Yeah,
I remember a lot of people were super excited for
I remember that. The trailer, I was like, this looks weird, but maybe
yeah, that's kind of how I felt too, but then I've just heard nothing but terrible stuff about it.
Most of the time when I think like this looks weird but maybe, it ends up being a good time,
as we said in the opening, every movie has its fan base.
Exactly. And they deserve it. They deserve their fan base.
So there, maybe we would like this movie, I don't know.
It premiered October 29th 2021. Couldn't find any budget information, but it did make a worldwide gross of $18 million, and it has an IMDb score of 5.9 out of 10.
Oh, okay. So decent score, at least.
All right. Do you want to hear the bad news?
No taglines?
No taglines.
There is no tagline for this? No taglines. No way. Come on. There's got to be. It could have been something. Could have been something.
I even pulled up like the posters to see if there's anything on there, and I couldn't find anything.
Did they just forget?
They're just like, it's whatever. Yeah, people will watch it or they won't.
It's the resort. You know it. Skull on the poster. It's an island. You know it.
All right. Well, I didn't do really any fun fact finding because it's...
To be or not to be.
It's a bonus episode. So we'll make the fun facts
on our way.
Yeah.
We'll make
the
it
The fun
up.
Facts are the friends we made along the way.
Yeah. Well, fun fact number one, this movie doesn't have a tagline.
Is that a fun fact or a sad fact?
That's a fun fact. I think it's fun.
All right, Travis. I guess we're ready to do good, bad, ugly, absurd.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. I'll start off with the good.
Okay.
Well, I thought that the acting was pretty decent, all things considered. I was kind of surprised because I knew that this was a Bughead movie going into it. But everybody other than Thurston, a.k.a. Chris... did pretty good. Chris
I
is there.
Thurston did really good.
No, Thurston had pretty flat delivery with his lines, I think.
I think he
is the least experienced actor, clearly. Everybody else there did a pretty good job.
He's got a shit ton in his filmography, actually.
But he's always cast as, like, for his appearance, I guarantee it. That's why he got the role on Righteous Gemstones, because he's, like, a buff big boy, and, you know, Kelvin needed buff big boys, so that's how he was cast.
Buff men.
Boys.
And I disagree with you. I think he did good in this.
Yeah.
I believed him. I thought he had a sensitive side to him.
I don't know.
I think you don't want to think that a buff big boy can be sensitive like that.
No, I don't have any problems with that. I just honestly didn't think that he did the best with acting. I also thought that, what's the other girl's name?
Bree.
Bree, yeah. I didn't think she was... super good, but she wasn't bad. I don't know. Like, I was overall impressed with the acting.
They were all very, like, stereotypically written characters, yes. So the actors had to work with what they had with it.
Yeah, especially Sam. And I'll get into him in a minute. Other than that, I really liked the concept of a haunted resort, and I liked the lore of the half-faced girl.
Yeah.
I thought that that was pretty creepy, and that's where my good stops.
Okay. I really like the concept of it. I like that they're exploring a haunted resort because it kind of gives me, you know, like the Shining vibes. You know what I mean? Where people are like, oh, this hotel is haunted. And then it also gives Blair Witch vibes because it literally takes some set pieces from Blair Witch.
It does. I noticed that too.
And we also get like a fun frolic through the woods. And I always love horror that has like brightly lit set pieces. And I think that's part of the reason I reached for this movie today, because we watched Influencer earlier this week. And I was like, I want more island-based horror.
Okay. Yeah.
And I also really loved Sam's whole death scene. I thought that was probably one of the better sequences in the movie.
Yeah, Sam's is pretty good, actually. Yeah, that was probably the highlight of the movie for me.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, bad? So what's your bad?
Okay. So, I think that, I hated at the beginning how they kept cutting back and forth from, like, after the event and then before, because it didn't flow well. It was super jarring, and like you can do that with movies, but I don't think that they handled it super well with this. It just kind of made me confused.
It got better with the longer sequences.
Yeah, doing it like that is better, I think. But like one line at the hospital getting interviewed by the detective and then going back to them planning the party for like two more lines and then back and forth like that. It was just too much. So yeah. I didn't like that off the bat. That's how we started this thing. Another thing, I noticed that the audio mixing was pretty bad in this.
Yeah, there were a couple in particular when they're at the helicopter and you can see Lex's mouth moving and it's absolute silence. Mm-hmm. And then there's another where they're like, hiking and Sam and Lex are talking, yes. And Bree and Chris are talking in the background, but their mic packs are at the same
not
volume.
Turned down. Yeah, so like I'm getting glimpses of their conversation while we're supposed to be hearing this important conversation with Lex, but
my theory is that they didn't realize that the mic packs were up so high when they were filming and it was too late to like refilm, so they tried to edit it as much as they could and they just couldn't.
I wonder if they have it like this, like we are recording on two separate mics but it all goes into one feed.
Yeah,
I wonder if they had that same type of deal where it all like mixed into one sound wave.
Yeah,
because like otherwise you can just mute them, but
yeah,
they didn't.
I don't know enough about audio equipment for filming.
Yeah, I don't either.
I don't really know enough about our audio equipment here. You handle all of that.
Dude, I am winging it. Like you said before, I thought the characters were super generic, especially Sam. He's supposed to play the lovable asshole, but what he really ends up being is just an asshole.
Sean William Scott, he is not.
Yeah, like, you need to have some, and the actor did fine, all things considered, but, like...
Yeah, considering he was given, like, the douchiest dialogue, he did a good job with his delivery of it, but, like...
He just wasn't written with any nuance or, like, any charisma. Like, everything about... He was just given, like, shitty line after shitty line with like, nothing redeeming.
Like boobies. I like beer. I like drinking. I hate ghosts.
Yeah.
Now I'm dead.
Sex joke.
Here's my butt. Here's my butt. Here's again. My butt. Here's my butt a third
like
time.
A whole song. Sex joke. Here's my butt. Here's my butt. Okay.
Did you have any additional bad?
Hold on. I feel like we need to at least address. We had to stop for a second, and I realized after the fact, because I played back some audio, that we had the little clicking sound. So that's done now, I hope. So
it's a pipe bomb.
Yeah. Sorry about that. But okay. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, the only other bad thing I had was that I thought that some of the editing was bad. Because there was one part in particular where they are like right after that scene where they're having that conversation where we're hearing both sides of it. It suddenly cuts to them being lost. And we missed like a huge chunk of something that they had shot there. And it just kind of confused me. It was janky. I just didn't, I don't know. It was bad.
I think that it feels very first or second draft to me.
The whole movie?
Yeah. And I feel like it's got, not to sound like somebody on HGTV, it's got really good bones. Mm. And I think it has like a really interesting premise there, a really great setup. We've got the friend dynamics. I just wish we had explored all of it a little bit more.
I agree.
I feel like we could have rounded out the character some, smoothed some of the story pieces, cut parts from the beginning, added more at the resort. I feel like we could have done a lot.
Yeah, you're right. Because that was one of the things I was wanting more of. Like, it was a lot of them getting to the resort. Like, over half the movie, it felt like, was them hiking to the resort. And then the last half is them exploring it. And then the last 10 minutes was them actually experiencing the spooky stuff.
It's like they, you know, they're doing the classic writing thing of like, okay, how do we force them into this situation? This happens, then what?
Yeah.
And like, they just went with whatever the first option was. And they, I don't know, like, did they tell the actors to ad-lib it? Like, what was going on? Because they're like, this whole argument about the backpack and how everybody's so like, oh, I'll just buy you a new backpack. And she's like, yeah, but my phone and wallet are in there. Like, that's a big deal. And she could have run back inside real quick. And you know what I mean? It's just stuff like that. And like stuff like there's clearly like a history between Sam and Bree that wasn't explored. I wish we'd gotten more background on the half-face girl.
Yeah, I just wanted more of the half-face girl.
Yeah, like, even just, like, why is, like, okay, yeah, half her face is missing. Why? What happened? What's her story? What's her deal?
Yeah.
And I, like, not even in an explanation way, but because, like, that adds to the terror of, like, okay, are we just afraid of people that have, you know, some sort of scarring? Or are we, like, is this part of the mythos to her that, like, oh, she was attacked this way, so now she roams the resort attacking other people this way? You know what I mean? Like,
kind of like 13 Ghosts, where they all have their, like, their own stories.
You know? Yes.
Yeah, like,
yeah, a little bit. Like,
dive a little bit more into that war.
And it explains why they have, like, their preferred methods for attacking people.
Yeah.
You know, like, when What's-Her-Face is in the bathroom, as she always is.
Shannon Elizabeth.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, like, that ghost that's attacking her, it makes sense that she's in the bathroom getting her while she's in the tub.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I wish we had that a little bit more. We had some time to play with this.
Yeah, we did. Because, yeah, it's only an hour and 15 minutes. It's a short movie. You could have definitely, they probably just didn't have the budget for all of that.
Probably. And it's a shame, because I think this movie, if it was fleshed out a little bit more, could be really great.
I think this movie was banking more on setting an unsettling atmosphere while they explored the resort. And then it caps it off with the actual scares. That way it leaves you with that. And then I think ultimately, because of that, like, they didn't really execute that stuff well. So I didn't really get much dread or anything in the resort. And whenever the spooky stuff actually happened, that's whenever I was like, oh, okay, this is actually getting kind of good now. And then as soon as it gets kind of good, it just stops.
Yeah.
Like, that's the rest of the movie. They blew the rest of their budget there in the last 10 minutes and then boom.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's your ugly?
Sam.
Yeah.
Sam really fucking sucks in this movie. He's just a shitty person. Just all the way through. He's just, I don't know. I don't like him. I don't care for that guy. And I also thought that some of the effects were pretty bad.
I mean, paranormal movies in general always has to have that one person that's like a non-believer.
Yeah.
Whether or not they get changed or they die before they can change their mind. There's always that one person, because it's a bit of natural friction that you create, because you do, like, there are people in the world, like, if you walk into any room and you're like, I believe in ghosts, there's going to be at least one other person that's like, well, you're dumb. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's very reasonable to think that he exists there and that he's either going to have, like, a huge moment where he's like, ah, ghosts are definitely real, or he's going to die at the hands of a ghost.
Yeah.
And so that's, like, a very easy bit of conflict to put into a movie like this. But, like, like you said, give him some nuance. Because he clearly, like, that whole backstory about growing up super religious and then he went to college and started learning all of these other explanations. That is such an interesting piece of backstory, and I wish that, like, it mattered to the character more. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, have a little bit of more depth and layers with that cynicism beside, like, show, don't tell.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, see that he's got, like, these mixed feelings about it all.
Yeah, like, whenever things actually start to happen, like, have him maybe start to question himself. But at no point in this movie does he ever question anything. He just... Yeah, he ends, like, up dying before anything, like, happens.
Like, when he sees the sheet in the tree and he thinks it's a ghost, he's not the one that goes and discovers it's a sheet.
Yeah.
If he was really like, oh, stuff like this doesn't exist, why isn't he the one that walked over to the sheet?
And, like, he's so, too busy peeing.
He's, like, peeing the whole
time. The entire time. Yeah.
But, yeah, so I agree with you. I think that's definitely... a bit of ugly. Also, just, like, you know, making tourism out of, like, some native land and just be like, ah, those locals, you know, they're crazy custom. Like, that shit's mad disrespectful. Everybody has their own customs about, like, historic battle sites and graveyards and stuff like that. And that's clearly what's being told here. And they're just like, ah!
Yeah, those fucking losers.
Capitalism, am I right? Yeah. We're white. Like, that's how it definitely comes across when the video, when they're explaining it all.
Yeah.
Like, and that's ugly. And that's also, like, a very, like, real thing.
That's true. Yeah, you're right. People just disrespect and...
Yeah.
Okay.
Which, funny enough, will tie into our main episode this week with Infinity Pool.
Oh, boy. We've been really good about doing that, right?
Yeah, like, we didn't mean to, yeah. But it's a good tie-in.
Okay. Absurd. I got a couple of things.
Okay.
When we open, are those guards twins?
They do look so much alike, don't they?
Maybe they had the same guy play him. He's like, okay, stand over here, and then we'll shoot in. We'll cut it together.
Like, have you ever seen The Parent Trap with Lindsay Lohan?
And if they are twins, you gotta acknowledge it, right? You can't just have two twin guards there at the beginning of the movie, not say anything, have one die, and then be like, oh. Okay, next up, back to the pee scene.
Oh boy,
the fact that he whispered Chris over there while he was peeing, and, like, the girls just say, like, they come over anyways, but, like, why are you whispering at him? If he can hear you, they can hear you. It's not being discreet at all. Plus, you're doing it while you're peeing. Like, his dick is still out this entire time while having this conversation about a sheet.
I mean, he had just was, like, full dick and balls out while they were swimming. He was the only one that chose the skinny dip.
But there's something different about it when you're peeing compared to skinny dipping. You know what I mean? It makes it a little bit more intrusive.
Not if he's the one inviting them over.
Well, for people, that's why he didn't want the girls there. He's like, I don't want them to see it pee. at the end... whenever they're, like, about to run out of time and they're trying to get back to the boat before it leaves, Chris is like, I'll dig us out of here. And he starts just, like, tearing weeds out of the ground. He's, like, not actually digging a hole. He's just tearing weeds out of the ground.
You know what I would have loved?
What?
If he had, like, that little shovel multi-tool from Never Hike Alone. Yeah. And he just, like, whips that out of his backpack.
It would have been perfect for this situation.
Like, oh, man, this thing's actually really handy. I'm glad that my favorite camping YouTuber recommended it to me.
Good tie-in.
Wink.
Yeah, good tie-in right there. So those are my absurd.
My absurd... is Lexi's grand entrance to the movie, because her friends are like, surprise! And she's like, guys, first a trip to Hawaii, and now a surprise cake? Too much!
And it keeps happening throughout the movie, like, guys, a helicopter to the island?
Like, it's so weird. Her order of importance of things is, like, she's like, I will gladly accept this free trip to Hawaii, but this cake, that's too much, too generous.
Yeah.
And yeah, she really does, like, she's got bizarre entitlement because, like, she's like, all right, let's vote. Do we take the trail to the resort or the trail to the waterfall? And they all vote waterfall. And she goes, ah, drats. And then we're like, okay, it's time to leave. And she goes, no, we're staying the night. Yeah. You guys are jerks. You don't want to help me at all. You don't believe in me.
She strikes me as the type of person that writes out, surprise me with cake on my birthday. And then when she walks in, she's like, oh, really, guys? You did this?
Is it the chocolate like I asked for with the raspberry buttercream?
Oh, yeah. Like, she's not, she gets disappointed. Like, oh,
that's vanilla.
Yeah. I definitely requested chocolate.
Also, did she have posters of her books up on her apartment walls? Is that what we're led to believe?
I wasn't sure. I was curious about what that was.
Which I'm not like judging that at all. If I totally publish books, yeah, yeah, like if I publish books or was in movie, like
we have your
exactly
your screen prop from your movie here.
Like, I would totally do that. I just, like, again, it's one of those things that is like, okay, she's an established writer. I could see them maybe like using that to grease the wheels a little bit to get over to the resort. Yeah. I think that would have been an interesting bent on it, you know? So, yeah. Lex is my absurd.
She's pretty absurd, yeah.
Okay. All told, what? Whoa, okay.
What, whoa? That's her tagline. What, whoa?
What, whoa?
What, whoa? No, what, whoa?
What, whoa?
Like Scooby-Doo, what, whoa?
That's a rut-row.
Rut-row.
Listen, don't try and come at me with Scooby-Doo knowledge. We've already established who was the Scooby-Doo fan growing up, and wasn't you.
That's true.
Okay. Sorry, it's really nice out, and our neighbor likes to ride his motorcycle when that happens.
So. Sometimes he just sits there and revs it.
Probably for the kids' sake. The kids are probably
you're right.
So cool. Yeah.
You're right. Okay.
I'll indulge him for that. Yeah. They seem like they're a cute family. That's so.
All right.
Anyway, what's your ranking?
I think I'm going to have to agree with IMDb and give it a 3.
Okay.
I didn't think it was a super strong movie. I think it had loads of potential. I like the premise. I mean, the cast is pretty good. And that's about it. Like, I don't think it was just, they didn't take full advantage of what they had set up.
I'm going to give it a 4.
Okay.
Pretty much for the same reasons as you. I really like the premise of it. And I think if we had embellished on some of it, cut out some of it, smoothed the edges, it would have been great.
Yeah.
Okay. So are you ready to discuss?
Let's do it.
Okay. So we start off with the security guard at this abandoned resort. He comes in. Looks like maybe some nonsense has been going on here.
Finds a bottle. Bottle of alcohol.
Yeah. And the security guard, well seasoned in his profession, is like, I'm guarding this abandoned resort. There shouldn't be an empty bottle here. What, whoa, retro.
yeah.
So he goes investigating. He throws his lit cigarette and goes investigating. And he gets down there and he gets a literal jump scare.
From maybe his twin brother.
Yeah, or maybe himself.
We don't know.
So they're like talking about how it seems like maybe somebody's in here. And then they hear shouting, confirming that somebody's in here. He's like, we need to go check that out. And then, whoa, he gets dragged down the hall.
Isn't this weird, though, that if this haunting, the half-faced girl has been present throughout this entire time, that like it would have gotten them a long time ago, maybe back on their first night on the job? What if this was their first night on the job?
I think that generally they don't go inside the resort. I feel like it's one of those things because they're there to make sure there's no trespassers. So he only went inside because it was clear that like somebody had been there.
Yeah, but they say that she roams the whole island. Even the movie's lore doesn't even understand.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't. Again, it was an hour 15. We could have taken a few more minutes to explain yeah. some of this. Especially because, like, it was supposed to be a whole established thing that she was researching for her book.
That's true, yeah, yeah.
Like, she could have been a good mouthpiece for some of this. Why did we have to watch a YouTube video?
Yeah, she could have just been dropping lore, just like, boom, yeah. boom, boom. Nah.
Anyway.
Okay, title card.
Title card.
Hey. All right.
And then Lex comes in and is just like, guys, this is too much. A luxury trip and cake?
I love the editing in this, though. Okay, like, the editing's bad, but it's hilarious. She's like, gets surprised, like, guys, I can't believe you did this. And then it cuts to, like, somebody being rushed down the hospital hallway. Like, what the fuck happened? Like, did they, like, rush her after that? Or did she, like, eat the cake and have some kind of reaction? We don't know. But she's like,
guys, I told you I'm allergic to peanuts.
Yeah, it's clearly somebody in a life or death situation being rolled down the hallway at a hospital.
Yeah.
And then back to the party.
Actually, no, not back to the party yet. They're saying that she was airlifted to the island of Maui and that she calmed down when she was told she wasn't on the island anymore. And then Deputy Doofy himself comes in. He's the detective on this case, so you know you're in good hands.
Yes.
And I will say, Dave Sheridan, I think this is like the straightest I've ever seen him play anything ever.
Yeah, for real.
Like, he did, I was really impressed with him, like, because that man can't not make me crack up. And, like, I was like, I believe you. Like, I don't think you're being really sarcastic at any point with this, even though I'm sure, like, he wants to be. Like, he did a really good job playing it straight.
He's a good actor. He's pretty good.
So, yeah, he's like, all right, we need to talk. And so then we go flashback to her surprise, and they're talking about her book and this upcoming trip. And they're like, well, actually, we have another surprise. We're going to take you to the island of Kilauea. And she goes, guys, too much.
Is Kilauea a real island?
If
it was fake, like Kilauea, that sounds like you're just trying to make up like a deadly Hawaiian island.
Yeah, I'm not sure. And there are so many islands like associated with Hawaii that like it's...
You say it weird. Hawaii?
I'm pretty sure that's how it's actually pronounced.
Probably, but this...
I feel like I heard somebody say that that's Hawaii? The correct pronunciation. And it's like Hawaii is how like we say it.
Hawaii?
Hawaii, because we're not like Hawaiians, but it's like actually Hawaii. I swear to God, I heard that somewhere. Maybe I'm making that up.
No, I believe you.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway. So, yeah, she wants to study this island and the resort because that's what she's writing her books on. And as her boyfriend Chris says, as Stephen King says, the devil's in the details, which I think lends credence to my Shining Titan theory.
Yes. However, I don't know if they're dating. I think that he's interested.
She calls him babe at one point.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is she so surprised that he's doing nice things? Like, when like Bree had to like leak the details to Lex, like, by the way, he got you that ticket. Like, yeah, it's a fucking birthday present from your boyfriend, of course.
Well, that's the thing that's confusing about it. And she's like, guys, this isn't a free trip. Somebody paid for me. Yeah. It's too much.
I don't know. Okay, whatever. So she's like, yeah, it's fucking awesome. You know, Mr. I don't know why I said Mr. I don't know. This is a fucking YouTube channel. Like, they're trying to convince the skeptic of the crew, which is
Sam.
Yeah,
they're trying to explain the lore of the island, and they should, like, this feels like one of those videos that we would put on when we want like a spooky moment but don't have time for a whole movie, and then like you would turn it off halfway through because you'd be like, this is boring.
See, I feel like this right here, this movie, this little video that they put together was effective. And I wish that we got more of that style in this movie, because I feel like if they presented a lot of things in this movie like this, it would have hit harder.
It just didn't. I wish they had given a little bit more like specifics. Like, for example, such and such and such and such on this day, and witnesses say, and da 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 da, instead of just like some guest report writing on the mirror, and then the bellhops stop going to that room, and so they shut down the resort, and like, it feels like we're missing stuff. Like, really, where's the escalation?
It's just, it's so crazy that this place opened up, and then immediately became haunted, and then immediately shut down.
Yeah, but they still, like, maintain the island. I don't know. The whole thing's kind of confusing.
It is, man. It's just not super well thought out, I don't think.
And, like, they have ferries there daily.
Yeah.
But also, you're not supposed to go there.
Also, there's a boat that will leave here only at this time, but, like, it's totally abandoned, and, like, nobody goes to this island ever. In fact, I think they even say, like, nobody ever goes to this island in this video. Like, nobody's ever been. Like,
they're like, they don't go to the side of the island anymore, but then they say, we also hire security to make sure there's no trespassers at the resort.
So also, here's a bunch of footage of the resort. Like, we were there.
again, it just feels like the script is a very like first or second draft, and it was all like solo editing, didn't have an outside perspective to be like, hey, so this doesn't make sense to me, can you explain this?
Yeah.
Which is why it's okay to have people proofread your stuff and ask questions. You want them to poke holes and stuff like that, because it makes the final product better.
Exactly, yes.
And it's one of those things that if you've got an ego, which most artists do, it's fine. It's part of the gig. Like, it is hard to get that feedback, but it also is important.
Yes, exactly. So, and they hone in on room 306 especially, because that's the one that apparently had the most haunting sightings. So they surprise Lex again with a helicopter.
Yeah.
And I don't think she's like happy about it, but then sad because she remembers that she's afraid of heights or something.
She's like, oh no, I was afraid of this, guys. They're like, yeah, we know.
Yeah. Like, we just thought it would be cool to take a helicopter, not a boat.
She's like, we have a boat, and they're like, but this is cheaper, which I call bullshit on that. They're doing a backdoor helicopter ride over there. There's no way that's cheaper than getting a round ticket for the ferry.
No, you're right. Yeah, helicopters are definitely going to be way more expensive. Also, this is very clearly a riding, like, a thing for the script. That way they don't have any other way off the island. They don't have their boat there now. They are they're dependent on another boat.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're dependent on the ferry. They haven't gotten on the ferry before, so they're not entirely sure. And these people are really bad navigators.
Yes.
They're terrible at it. And, you know, we got all the usual island stuff. No signal, no cell service. Mm-hmm. Those are the same things.
That makes sense. You know, that stuff makes sense.
Yeah, so they're gonna go hiking, and they've got 6 hours before they have to be back to the boat. And so Bree sets a timer on her phone, mm-hmm. so that way they don't forget. But you know what? Good job, Bree. I appreciate that. I'm a timer setter. Travis will tell you, I've got about 7 alarms for just like various things throughout the day, because I lose track of time very easily.
Yeah, we'll see how it plays out for them.
Yeah. So the detective back in the present, kind of, this is less than 24 hours prior.
Yeah.
So the detective is like, yeah, I've been to the island plenty of times as a kid. I don't really believe in those legends.
Nobody goes here. I went there all the time.
Yeah. Like, and then he's also like, so are your friends still there? And she says, yes. And he's like, okay, cool. We want to go save them. She's like, you get their dad. It's too late. And he's like, but you said they're still there. No, they're not. Like, what?
Yeah.
Maybe, like, in the very literal sense that their bodies are still there is what she means. I don't know. So, yeah, it's them hiking through the island, and it's really pretty. And they get to this fork where it's really not a fork, because the pilot told them clearly, stay on the marked trails. Mm-hmm. That's not even, like, I mean, haunting stuff aside, that's just good
just
hiking.
Out. Yeah.
A rule to go by.
Yeah, you don't stray from the trail.
Yeah. So she gets outvoted and they all go to a waterfall. Her friends do not seem concerned about going to the resort. I don't know why they arranged for this trip to the island specifically. And now that she's like pushing to see the resort, they're like, no. It's kind of confusing, right?
It is. It's very confusing, especially since it's her birthday present. It's
sort
of like, yeah, we're voting not to do the thing that you want to do, even though this is your birthday present. Like, we're all going to go to this little lake pond area and just, like, swim. And Sam's going to get naked, which, you know, didn't really sign up for that part, but, you know.
It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
And then she tells the detective, she goes, that's the last time I truly felt peace. But actually, it wasn't peaceful, because it felt like the island was trying to push us off.
Yeah, she's like, that's whenever I noticed, like, I should have listened to the island. It was telling us to leave. And I'm like, what? Like, there's like nothing about that at all that happens at this point.
So then this is where they're all talking about their beliefs with the paranormal. And, you know, we've gotten a lot of Lex talking about how she believes it, because every culture has some version of the afterlife. Mm-hmm. And Chris is like, yeah, I'm open to the idea that ghosts exist. Like, why not? And Bree says, you know, if good exists, I think evil also has to exist. Which that is discriminatory towards ghosts, assuming that all ghosts are evil.
Honestly, I think that that actor was winging it. She was struggling so hard to find the words for that. It's like the episode
this wasn't in the script.
It's like that episode of Parks and Rec where she's like giving the Miss America speech or whatever.
Oh, where she's parodying Miss Teen South Carolina.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's very much like that. Like, and there's like a definitely good, but I personally feel like that there's also bad. So yeah, no, ghosts exist.
She says it a little better than that.
Not much, honestly.
I got her point was.
It doesn't make any sense. What are you talking about? There must be good, so there must be bad. Okay, so that explains ghosts.
Well, that's why I'm saying that she's a little bit bigoted towards the undead.
I guess. I don't know.
So anyway, Sam is like, oh yeah, no, I used to like have a very religious viewpoint, and then I learned about science, so none of that anymore for me.
His whole story, like, I was about to call him out. He's like, yeah, so like I had this thing where like I woke up in the middle of the night and I was paralyzed. And
I wrote, Sam was religious, had sleep paralysis.
Yeah.
And then learned that that was sleep paralysis.
I did like, he was like, and then I went to college and I learned a little thing about sleep paralysis. I was like, oh, okay, this is good for you, man.
And this is the pee scene.
So he's like, all right, I told my sleep paralysis story. I got to go pee. So he goes to go pee and he sees like what looks like a person with a bag over them or a blanket or something.
It really looks like our girl Agnes that we have for our Halloween decorations. It does, yeah. That's what I thought she was the whole time.
I feel like this would have been more effective if it was clearly somebody. And then whenever they call, he calls, excuse me, whispers for Chris to come over. Like it ends up being like something else. And it's just like the little blanket or the curtain or whatever it was.
So anyway, they're all like, ha ha ha
ha. Ha ha, you're peeing. They're not even like looking at the thing like, ah, look at this thing.
They find a radio tower. We do have a fun bit where Bree's like, it's a cell tower. And they're like, honey.
I don't have service. And then
Sam's like, I want to climb it. And they're like, no, it'll electrocute you, which I don't think that's how radio towers work.
And then he sells the electrocution thing in the worst possible way. And then...
But Breeze's sweet little dum-dum. And she's like, Sam, are you okay?
I can see. And then he's like, ah, and you care about me. It's like, yeah, that's your fucking girlfriend. And then at the same time, I'm like...
I think maybe they're exes, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because at one point, one of his butt flashing moments, she says that he needs more squats. And he's like, you used to like it.
Yeah, this still feels like they're still together. Like, it's just like he took, like, a little playful jab too harshly. He's like, oh, she doesn't like my butt anymore. But I feel like I see what they were trying to do with the scene right here. They were trying to have, like, a... I can see this in another movie and it being endearing and, like, playful. But, like, the way that it's acted out and performed and written, just Sam is kind of like an asshole again.
Yeah, again, it's one of those that, like, if they fleshed it out a little bit,
yeah,
had more than one draft on it, it would be good.
Yeah.
Okay, so they get to the resort, and Sam completely just fucks shit up. He's like, I've always wanted to break windows. And it's like, dude, you're the reason we don't have nice things. You're the reason that we have to, like, have signs at hiking trails saying, like, don't leave your fucking trash here.
Yeah. It's just weird, like, immediately going into the resort, and then he finds a cinder block and just tosses it through a window. Like, that's the first thing that you want to do.
And then I, like, in my notes, I almost wrote, okay, so he's one of those, like, dangerous, impulsive drunks. And then Chris is like, all right, you've had enough to drink. So I'm like, oh, cool, I clocked that character trait pretty easily.
Yeah, we haven't mentioned that, like, every other shot of he's them hiking a shot. he's drank an entire bottle of by himself rum. Yeah,
and then he's also had like the little mini shot bottles.
Yeah, like the dude's fucked up.
Yeah, I'm and honestly, like, that stressed me out so much because that much hiking, like, he's gotta be so dehydrated.
Yeah,
and he's gotta smell awful.
Oh yeah,
whatever sweat is coming out of his pores has gotta be nasty. Ugh. Anyway, like, it made me thirsty watching it.
They go to room 306 now. Mm-hmm.
And they're taking pictures. And the sisters are just like, babe, take a picture of me. Babe, I look like a dork with my backpack.
And she's like, I need this for my book.
Yeah, like, what? Why? Like, I get that it, like, it would be cool to have, like, in the book, like, showing that you did your research or whatever, but...
Yeah, it could be in, like, what did they call that whenever, like, you have, like, the author information whenever you first open the book?
I think it's just, like, an author headshot.
But don't they have, like, a little bit of, like, something, like, a little writing from the author?
Like, acknowledgements?
They just, like, say things.
Or intro?
Or they talk, yeah, they just talk about, like, the author or maybe the author. Yes, I think the foreword is what it's called, yeah.
I
could see it being used for that.
I felt like you kept changing the description of what you were trying to get the name of.
All the things I said are true about books. It's in the beginning. It has a picture of them, usually. It's about them. Sometimes it's written by them. Most times it's written by them,
yeah,
I think.
But there's... like all kinds of different versions of that depending on what you're talking
about.
Look, man,
I don't read a lot of books, okay?
I know.
I'm going based off of the few books I've read, okay? And I feel like maybe she's making a book with pictures. Maybe she's making like a graphic novel. I don't know. I don't know. It could be anything.
Anyway, the detective is like, so you did take pictures? And she's like, yeah. And he's like, that's weird. I didn't see any in your phone. She's like, you went through my fucking phone? She didn't say
cool.
that, but that was what I wanted her to say.
Yeah, right. Like, why would, like, I know you're the detective, but that's illegal. You can't be going through people's shit like that.
Also, how did you get into her phone?
Maybe,
do you,
like,
not have it password protected, Lex?
A lot of people have the face read thing, which if she were, you know, passed out, he could just take her face and unlock it.
I guess. I always hated the facial recognition thing because I wear glasses and contacts. So depending on the day, my phone didn't know how to handle my face.
I just don't like the...
just...
yeah. I just don't like it. I don't care for... I like the thumb reading.
Yeah. Okay. So they are hearing sounds. Sam has been outside while Chris, Lex, and Bree are inside exploring. And they hear, like, a ruckus, and they go outside, and they see swarms of what we later learn are birds. I thought maybe were locusts, but that might just be, like, a Righteous Gemstones bias that Torsten
possibly
invoked in me.
It's just birds being birds, but yeah. They're, like, oh, spooky, haunting, ghost birds.
I thought something was going to happen to Sam in this moment, honestly.
I did, too, but
because I really thought he would be the first to go, considering his whole, like, anti-ghost rhetoric.
Yeah, plus they have him isolated.
Yeah.
You know,
it
would make
made
sense.
But instead it's just, like, maybe they planned that, but they didn't have the budget to do it because the swarms of birds were clearly, like, on a repeat loop. Like,
you can make it work, okay? Maybe the birds were supposed to attack Birdemic.
I was going to say, I wish that they had just done the same effects as Birdemic.
Yeah, I would respect it. Totally. Like, especially if everything else looked nice and then suddenly it's just like, ah, 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 just like fake puppet
amazing.
Birds attacking.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I would love it. Velocipaster did the same thing.
Yeah,
I would live. I would respect this movie leaning into its low budget status.
Yeah. So they now are like, okay, it's 5:45. We need to get out of here. Lex doesn't really want to go, though.
She's like, but we brought flashlights. Clearly, we were planning to be here past dark. And they're like, no, we brought them for the hike back.
Yeah, plus it takes like over an hour for us to get back to the where the boat's going to be, so we need to go. And she's like, no, we got time. Like, you know, 5:45, okay, we definitely have time to do this.
And then Chris starts digging by pulling weeds out of a fence. They all can't agree where they came in at. And for a minute, I thought we were going to have, like, a Night of the Demons moment. We're like, no, this is definitely the way we came in, and now there's a fence in the way.
Yeah, yeah.
But instead, they're just, like, disoriented.
No, it's just like...
that's all it is.
Yeah.
And then she's like, where's my backpack? Chris, you left my backpack upstairs! I'm sorry, why is it his fucking responsibility to get your backpack, Lex?
I bet she planted it. She's like, oh, you fuckers want to leave? All right, I'm leaving my backpack
here. Sorry, another tie-in to Infinity Pool with him and his fucking passport.
That's true, yeah. So they reluctantly agree to go back to the resort to get her backpack.
Yeah,
but
it didn't
not
have
there.
To be such a big argument. It could have been like, okay, let's run in real quick.
Well, I mean, honestly, like... I guess, I know you need it, but you also need to get off the island. I think that's the higher priority. they're staying. They said that they're staying there for a week. They can come back and get it.
That's the true. Next Who's going to steal the backpack? Yeah. But like that would have made more sense for them to say that instead of Chris being like, "I'll buy you a new backpack," and her being like, "My phone and wallet are in there." He goes, "So?"
No, they're like, "But you don't you have it all backed up?" And she's like, "I don't know, maybe. It doesn't matter. I need my shit." Like,
which there's no way. If she is a published author and has multiple books, there is no way that she does not have multiple backups of her notes. There is absolutely no way. No established author is like, "Yep, I keep one copy that's not backed up anywhere. It's on a single device, and I'm not at all concerned about that." Like, nobody does that.
Until Lex came along.
She's like, "Guys, multiple devices and backups is too much."
That's what's in the foreword of her books. Just like, what is this? This isn't relevant to the story. Okay, so they go back there to go get it. Backpack's gone, not in the room that they were in, 306, so they start looking around, trying to find it.
Chris finds a dead coyote in the backpack in a room. And they're like, "I didn't even know coyotes were over here this state." And he goes, "They aren't." And then we never visit this again.
Like, just like, yeah, yep, like,
that's it.
Ghost coyote? What happened? Where did this... What the fuck? Yeah, right. You know, this is a little bit more upsetting now that like, they didn't even acknowledge it. Like,
just like, yeah, that sure is weird. All right, here's your bloody backpack. Let's go.
Yeah, what the fuck? I don't fucking know. Okay, so yeah, all right, the backpack's there. All right, let's get going. Oh, there's, they start to hear a noise, so they go to investigate.
This is where the security guard is coming in. So now we know where the security guard's at. And I did like this, because I didn't expect the security guards to be part of this. I thought it was just like a spooky opening to show that the resort is haunted.
Yeah.
So it was kind of nice that we see like the kids' side of things after we'd seen the security guard side of things. So we know exactly what was happening. And that's a nice twist that doesn't end up paying off at all.
No, not at all. I mean, like, they see the cigarette that he had at the beginning. Mm-hmm. Like, "Oh, Sam, are you still smoking? You were supposed to be smoking." He's like, "No, I haven't had one in 6 months." And then they see that the security truck is outside. So they go over there to try and get in it, but then everybody gets a conscience and they're like, "Well, we can't leave this guy."
Don't get a conscience. Chris steals the keys so that way they can't steal the truck. And so Sam gets out, starts fighting with him, which is a dumb move to fight somebody that has more muscle mass on his body than you have, like, actual density.
Yeah, this guy's a fucking mountain.
Like, yeah, and his face instantly gets bruised up. Because they're fighting, and Bree is just like, "I'm not getting out in the middle of this." And then guess what? The truck doors slam themselves, they lock themselves, and they're trying to like bust windows because that's the only thing Sam can contribute to anything ever. And then the truck starts on its own, and then it slams through the gate and over a balcony down several stories.
And Chris goes to investigate, and she's dead. Well, at first,
Chris is like, "We just need to go." And Lex is like, "No, we need to see if she's alive. Like, we're not going to make the boat anyway."
Like, "We can't leave the security guard." "Oh, she'll be okay."
"Can't leave the security guard. Our best friend."
Yeah, fuck her.
Yeah, whatever. It's fine.
It's just Bree.
Yeah. So Chris goes down to check on her. She's very dead. Like, she's super dead. Like, she's predictably dead. So they're trying to find another way out, the three of them that are left.
Yeah, but spooky, they see the half-faced girl. She's in the lobby, and then she starts chasing them.
And then the detective back in the present kind of is like, "So you're telling me this truck moved on its own? Or do you not think it's reasonable that maybe she hit the gear shift?" Which I feel like that's such a good tie-in to the whole, like, explaining the paranormal with the day-to-day stuff. Like, they have that, like, through line in this movie that they could have expanded upon more, and I wish they had.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they are seeing the ghost, multiple ghosts, maybe? It's kind of hard to tell.
I think it's just her, the half-faced girl. She's just chasing them around the resort.
So they're trying to find exit. Sam had found an exit by the pool earlier, so they're trying to get him to find it again. And in the basement, they hear giggling and footsteps, and this is legitimately probably the creepiest part of the movie.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
And it goes so quickly, dude, too.
Yeah, I wish we got more of this type of stuff.
Yes, I wish that, like, maybe the beginning had been about 20 minutes of buildup, and then we had like these types of moments for yeah, the rest of it.
Exactly.
So yeah, the ghost comes up and they're like freaking out, and they're like, okay, well, we all just need to stick together. So of course Sam immediately gets separated because the ghost has grabbed him. Mm-hmm. And they are like, oh shit, Sam's gone. So they go looking for him, and this a full Blair Witch Project moment.
Yes. Yep.
As he's just up against the wall. Except then we get to see like the ending that we assume happened after the credits rolled on Blair Witch Project, which is him turn around and attack Chris.
Yeah,
he's and got for his once head. He's actually overpowering him.
Yeah, he's got his head backwards. He's yeah. like, definitely like full on ghost now.
And he's got like black veins.
Yeah. So he's like choking out Chris, and then Lex gets like a pair of scissors or something.
And stabs him in the throat, and then Sam goes, why would you do that? And I was like, oh shit, did he do another prank?
I thought that was happening too, but no, he's just like a sad ghost. He's like, why the fuck would you stab me in the neck?
Why would you do that? And then hands reach and pull his face apart. It's actually really gross.
This was cool. I like yeah. this. I like that half face girl turns him into no face boy.
Yeah.
Like it's a really well done scene. And then like she starts chasing them and they make it to an elevator, but they have to wait for it to mm-hmm. come down to their floor.
And so then the lights start flickering and Ghost Sam is going, Lex, which like, I don't know if you're planning to have a ghost ominously say somebody's name. Maybe name the character with more syllables.
Yeah, Lex. 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 It says it so many times too, like Lex, 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 Lex.
Yeah. So eventually, like, Chris is like, all right, leave my girlfriend alone, Mr. Ghost Man. And then the ghost is like, fuck you! And, like, pushes him to the ground and stomps his skull in Michael Myers style.
That was pretty sick.
Yeah. Yeah,
curb stomps his ass.
Yeah.
Then the elevator arrives. She gets yeah. in there, gets up to it's the
like
correct floor.
It's like a freight lift kind of almost. Like, it's like how yeah. maintenance gets their machinery up to the top level or whatever.
Either that or, like, a really outdated...
No, I don't. I think it's a maintenance lift. It's not like a no high end resort is going to put its guests on a lift like this.
That's true. And also that resort was built in the 90s, they said.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, okay. She gets up there and she gets into a hallway and then she starts hearing Bree singing Happy Birthday.
Which this is kind of creepy, too.
Yeah, it could have been.
It could have been. Like,
she sung Happy Birthday and then suddenly the room goes white.
Yeah, it's like she enters the Take On Me music video.
Yeah, I don't know what happened here. Like, suddenly just everything turns white around her.
They ran out of budget.
Yeah, like, all right, green screen, just put white there. I don't know. I don't know. I thought maybe it was like is this like her whiting out or something? I don't know.
I don't know. But then the detective's like, all right, sounds legit. We're going to send some officers over to the island.
Yeah.
And so she takes her phone out of the evidence bag and her phone can see him through the sheet.
His black veins. Yeah. No. Well, I don't know. Like, but no, he's like, when she's doing that, he's in the room. But like before that, we did see him go to the other side.
Yeah.
So she's like taking a picture of him, but she can see his like ghost veins.
Yeah. And then she's like, what? And then he like, and she, like, crawls out of the bed and he attacks her and then she's actually dead and still on the island.
Yeah, just, like, puts the phone down, ghost Dave Sheridan screaming at her, and then we get half-face girl. This is where it gets really bad with the effects, I think. Nothing here looks good at all.
Yeah, it's like they were, like, couldn't think of an ending, so they ended it with chaos. And I think...
Yeah.
Listen, I don't mind a, like, she was actually dead the whole time twist.
I don't think this is what happened. What I thought was they made her think that she was in a hospital, mm-hmm. but then, like, it reveals she's still in the resort.
But she, like, had ghost veins, too, when they pulled out from her.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Oh, well, shit. I didn't realize that. Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, then.
So, I don't know. I think this movie... There were more problems when we went through and talked about it.
Yeah, there's a lot.
And I think it's such a solid premise, and it's got some really good ideas. It just feels very, like, it needs another pass.
Yes, desperately.
Like, yeah. It needs a little zhuzhing of the script and some reshoots and some editing, and it could be really great. I like the premise of it. I was really sold by the trailer when we watched it, and it didn't meet my expectations based on the trailer, and not in like a good way.
Yeah. I think what they could have done is cut down on some of the hiking to the resort, focus a little bit more on the spookiness that's happening at the resort, and have the half-faced girl be more of a presence there, because they were hyping her up from the very beginning, and like, we get her and she's great when we do get her, but like, we don't get enough of her, I don't think.
Or like, even if we keep all of the hiking, like, make it matter. Develop the relationships a little bit more, give people a little bit multidimensionality to their personalities, and have like spooky stuff happening, because we're told that this whole side of the island is supposedly haunted.
Yeah, other than that one thing where he's peeing and he thinks he sees something, like, you know, have more other than that.
Yeah, I think it could be really good. I hope somebody like 5 years from now remakes it.
Or they just do a sequel or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Like,
yeah, there's like so much potential like there with this.
Yeah, and it's got some really scary moments. Like I said, I think Sam's whole death scene holds up pretty well. Like that sequence from when they get down into the basement until he has his face torn off.
Yeah.
Really solid.
I think so too.
I just wish the rest of the movie was like that.
Me too. Me too.
And like, we barely get any time focusing on Bree and Chris's death. Like,
yeah, you're right. Yeah, it doesn't really... like, it just happens, and they're, like, forgotten.
Yeah. So. I'm bumping mine down. I hate this.
What are you making it?
3.5.
Oh, okay. I'm keeping mine at 3.
Okay. So we went from a 3.5 average to a 3.25. Whoa. Travis, what do you think Scout's favorite part was?
This is a tough one. But I think her favorite part... I guess whenever Sam gets naked and jumps into the water, because she does that.
Nope. Obviously, her favorite part is when everybody watches him pee.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Who did you relate to?
I don't know. I guess, like, as shitty as he is, I related to... Sam and the fact that, like, I am, like, the paranormal skeptic of the two of us.
Definitely.
Like, but I have more respect for it than he does. I'm, like, a combination between him and Chris. With, like, Chris understands it, and he fully believes in it, I think. However, like, I understand it, but I don't necessarily believe in it.
I would say that I would probably relate to Chris, like the believing but not necessarily super into ghost hunting.
Mm-hmm.
And then he like playing peacekeeper, like trying to keep everybody mellow and also be a little bit of like the moral conscience. Like, hey, we can't steal the security guard's truck. Like,
but also fuck Bree. Like,
but he, also fuck Bree.
Like,
yeah.
You gotta know when to cut the, like, the ties there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, at a certain point, sentimentality.
Out the window.
Who's that for?
And ghosts are there. Come on, man. Can't be caring about people. Okay. Do we have a dream sequel? Like, if we did get a sequel to this, like, how they could have, like, built on this lore? I feel like they have a lot to build on here.
I think it would be really fun. So that channel that they show at the beginning with the YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, oh, man, we've got an update to the island of Kilauna. And they're talking about... oh, this author and her group of friends went to go investigate because she was researching for her book. And so they want to go on a research tour, but they're not like going to the island intentionally. Like they're going to like other parts, like the islands surrounding Kilauna, and they're interviewing people that know about it. Something happens that forces them over there against their will.
Okay.
Just that way we're not like retreading the exact same story.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's fine. You know, honestly, though, I feel like this one right here, you can have a little bit more retreading, especially if you're approving on things.
That's true.
But I like your premise there. I like that as a setup. I am going to propose that we get Felissa Rose in this one. Because if you have Dave Sheridan, they're a package, though. You got to have both of them. Yeah,
they're a bonded pair.
Yeah. So, like, have her be, like, one of the ghosts at the resort and... obviously Dave Sheridan, like, is more of a ghost presence since we know that he's a ghost now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Give us some more Half Face Girl. And now you got a new one. You got No Face Sam.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay. Did you get a review for this?
I did. Okay, I pulled a good and bad review because I think we had previously talked about maybe doing that with the To Be or Not To Be movies.
Yeah, we did. We did.
So I want to start with the bad one because of something that you said at the beginning of the episode.
Okay.
I thought this horror movie would never get going, and I was right. It never did. It bopped along for about an hour and then decided to actually become a horror slash ghost story. The last 15 minutes weren't worth the wait. The ending was exactly what I thought it would be. I think I'll watch 13 Ghosts again.
Hey, yeah, honestly, 13 Ghosts is like a better telling of this type of story.
Yeah. I agree with what they're saying, that it like didn't really cover anything new. Mm-mm. And which is not necessarily a problem, but if you do that, you need to do it well.
Or make it fun or yeah. scary. Like, you can do like the same old and still keep it creepy.
Yeah, it's lukewarm the whole time.
Yeah.
On the other hand,
curious to see what somebody that loved this movie says.
Had a lot of time on my hands quarantining and had just watched Fantasy Island 2020, so my fiance and I decided to watch The Resort, sticking with the island theme.
In the mood, okay.
Yep. The actors are likable and the script is intelligent. Shots are beautiful. Predictably starts to get scary when the cast arrives at the haunted resort because the main character tells us when it's going to happen. I feel like the characters started dying a little too fast. They could have extended the scares another 10 to 15 minutes before people start dying.
Interesting.
The Half-Face Girl should have been more prominent and with more backstory. The end came way too fast, could have been more realistic considering the whole hospital scene was a dream. Where did the detective's character come from? All the other characters in a movie had a good reason to turn in the film, but the detective was really just a figment of the main character's imagination. Nice first feature, Taylor.
Oh, is this person's first movie then?
Yeah, okay. I think so.
Well, you know, like, I can see. So they had a lot of things that we said.
But yeah,
they just ended up actually liking it more than we did, which that's, you know, like, I don't really agree
with all of their criticisms. I think it's just because it has such potential. And like, that's the thing that I feel like I consistently do on here is when I see like a film's potential and a director's potential not live up to it, I'm frustrated with them because they have like. They have the skills. They have the goods. They just need to, like, go for it.
Yeah, I mean...
push a little more.
They are right. This movie is well shot.
Yeah.
It's well put together, audio aside. But everything else about it is pretty well done. I don't necessarily agree with them killing the people too soon. Like, they didn't die until the end of the movie.
I think they mean, like, there wasn't enough scary stuff happening before the deaths. It's okay. Like, it got spooky and then boom, death.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, we needed to have a little bit more, like, narrowly escaping some stuff. Yeah. So that way, like, we get our hearts pumping and then we get that, like, release with the death.
Yeah, it was all built up and then once they got there, they just let it all out in 10 minutes and then that was it.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I get it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, Travis?
Yes.
Titular question.
Mm-hmm.
To be or not to be?
I'd have to thumbs this one down.
Okay.
I'd say you don't really need to see it. There's a lot of better movies that tell this type of story in more entertaining ways. I'm not mad that we watched it. It's just I wouldn't recommend it to anybody.
I don't know that I would necessarily watch it again. I think if it was on in the background, I wouldn't necessarily care too much.
Okay.
Like, because there are some movies that, you know, I'm like, ugh, I don't want this on at all.
Yeah.
This is one that if it was on in the background, I don't know that I'm necessarily going to go searching out. I would tell people that you can check it out for yourself. I feel like it's worth viewing and coming to your own conclusions, as we see some people had the same issues with us, but they weren't as big hangups.
I agree with that, but would you personally recommend this to anybody?
I might recommend it to, like, I have a coworker that's kind of, like, dipping her toe into scary movies.
Okay.
And we have our whole system of, like, is this a nighttime movie or a daytime movie? Like, I would tell her that she could watch this and it would be a nighttime movie. Like, she wouldn't be too spooked being at home alone after.
I guess it depends on if, like, the stuff at the end gets her. Because, like, it gets kind of creepy there at the
end. It does get kind of creepy, but it doesn't linger on it too long. So, I don't, like, I think it'll be, like, enough to, like, whoo, that was spooky. Okay, cool. Now I can go do whatever. Like, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, like, it's worth a shot. I don't know that I'm going to watch it again, personally. If they came out with a sequel, I'd put it on in a heartbeat.
I'd give it a shot. Yeah. I'd give the sequel a shot for sure. Yeah.
So.
Okay.
And I would hope that it would be by the same director. Yeah. I think they deserve another chance because they've got, like I said, they've got the goods. They just need.
Especially.
They need to round it out some.
Yeah. Especially if this is their first. Mm-hmm. You know, like, definitely potential there. I see a lot of potential in this person. Just.
And I mean, like, Dave Sheridan has spoken about this too. He's like a big believer in, like, indie films and, like, clearly propping those people up. And the fact that, like, he's involved in this tells me that, like, he probably sees that same kind of potential in the idea and in what they're capable of. So
yeah, him and Felissa both are like on a big indie horror tear.
Yeah.
Like, that's where they live, it seems. Which is cool. I like that. I respect it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think that's it for this one.
Okay. Just a reminder, on this week's main feed episode, we are going, it's the same feed as this. This is like our main episode. Main episode.
Yeah,
we're
going to
be talking
episode
about Infinity Pool, another movie about white tourists who don't give a fuck about the land and the rules of the land they're on.
Yeah. completely different take on it, though. So be on the lookout for that one.
Yes. All right, until next time.
Oh, wait, hold on. We got to do our social media.
You do it.
Okay, you can find us on Instagram at Least Favorite Scary Movie Podcast, also Threads on the same handle. We also have Twitter, Least Fave Pod. Facebook is What's Your Least Favorite Scary Movie Podcast? Or no, just What's Your Least Favorite Scary Movie? We are on Blueski now.
Blueski?
Mm-hmm. As Jesse likes to call it. Mm-hmm. It's actually Blue Sky, but we are there now.
I've just started casually referring to it as Blueski. I think it's more fun.
Yeah. So if you're there and, you know, yeah, if you're there, you can find us. And shout out to our patrons that support the show. We have Eric and Vivi of Shaken Not Scared, Joe
Frigatron,
as is his full name, Amber, and Michael.
Thank you guys so much. We appreciate all of your support. Mm-hmm. If a Patreon subscription is not in your near future, but you want to support us in other ways, that's totally cool. You can do so by rating, reviewing, and subscribing us and sharing us with all of your friends, neighbors, coworkers, all that.
Yeah, stuff. It helps a lot, you know. So if you guys are able to do that, we'd greatly appreciate it. But thank you guys for being here. Thanks for listening. And we will see you guys in the next one.
All right. Bye.
Bye.